The top of Lama Dalam Bez, Masechus Bava Basra, Ha'u'arwa Dava Minsala Betray. It was a boat in the harbor, Rashbam points out. Neither one was Muchzuk. Tosis points out, neither one was Muchzuk. No one had Tfisa Dahashta, certainly. No one has present possession over the boat. It's out in public waters, it's out in a public harbor. And each one claims, Hayamar Didi, Vayamar Didi. Each one claims that the boat is his. Reuben says the boat is mine. And Shimon says, no, the boat is mine. And neither is a muchzik. And for that matter, neither is, at least as yet, a marakama. Because neither one can prove that he previously owned it. So there's no muchzik. So what's the din? So the previous piece of Gemara, Alam Adal Alam Beis, already told us that the din is called the Alam Gvar. Whoever is stronger gets it. That line in the previous sugya was encased within another conversation. Because the previous sugya presented it within a more complicated case. Let's just take a brief look at the Gemara, and then we'll come to our sugya. The Gemara doesn't tell us immediately what should the din be when it's Hayamar Didi, Hayamar Didi. Instead, the Gemara continues the case and says, and then Reuven shows up in Beis Din and petitions Beis Din, Asachad Minar Leidina, one of them comes to the Beis Din, the Amar Tifsua. And he says to the Beis Din, please seize the asset, please seize the boat, lock it down. When? Why? Ad Mayasina Sahadi Didi. Until I have a chance to bring Aiden. Reuven says it's really mine, and I can prove it. I'm just waiting for the Aiden to show up. The guys are on the way back from a business trip, so give me a couple of days, and then when these fellows return to town, I'll bring the Aiden and we'll close the case. But meanwhile, could you please seize the boat? Hold on to it, because I think Shimon is going to try to pull a fast one. It could take me a few days to get my Aiden. Meanwhile, Shimon is going to sail off with the boat. So first, the Gemara has a machlokas, whether tafsin or lo tafsinan. Should Beis Din follow such a request or not? Should we seize it or should we leave it open? And then the story continues. It happened. Let's say it happened that Beis Din did seize it, which the machlok is whether they ought to or not, but either way, let's say they did. Then the fellow shows up a few days later. He said, give me a few days. He comes back a few days later. He went to find his Edom and didn't find any Edom. He thought he could find Edom. He didn't find. So now Amalu Apkua, now he comes to Beis Din a second time. And now his petition is, release it. I asked you to temporarily lock down the boat because I was going to bring witnesses. I have now determined that I have no witnesses. So now would you please revert the boat back to its original state of just being unlocked and open and no one's a muchzuk? And then what's going to happen? Here's where the Gemara says, V'chol da'alam gvar. So let's... I asked you to seize it temporarily. Now I'm asking you to release it, and then we'll go back to, or apparently it was the original state. Here's where the Gemara says it. So I said, the Gemara already says, called Dal Mugvar by Huarba, but it's in the midst of wrapped with other aspects. Wrapped with other aspects. So the Gemara here says, then the Gemara says, second machlokas, should we release it? Once we took it, should we release it? The machlokes are there also. Mapkin lo mapkinan. And the Gemara says, Hilchasa, here's this preliminary Gemara, lo tafsin hecha tafas lo mapkinan. So the Gemara says, Beis Din should not listen to the initial request. They shouldn't seize it. Once they seize it, they can't release it. In other words, once Beis Din takes it into their custody, we don't have the right to just let it go and whatever's going to happen, happens. It belongs to one of them. I don't know who. Either Reuben or Shimon. Or maybe Levi. But either way, once Beis Din has custody over it, so it would be irresponsible vis-a-vis the true owner for whom Beis Din is a shomer to then just sort of be mafkrit. But at the same time, really Beis Din shouldn't get involved in the first place. Lo tafsinu. Even if a fellow asks, please hold on to it, Beis Din should say no. And certainly Beis Din is not going to volunteer to hold on to it. Instead, what's the din? Hahu arba, what should be the din? Call Dal Gvar. Right. This is the first time the Gemara says Call Dal Gvar. Then we come to our sugya. The very next line, the Gemara then says again, Zeman Shalavosa, Zeman Shalavosa. See, Reuven says it was my family's boat, or as Rashbam points out, to keep my family's karka, because once it's talking about Avosa, it says no more kama, even if it's karka. I say it was my family's. So you say it was your family's. Neither one is living on it now. There's no cheskes abatim, there's no cheskes markama, nothing. I say it belongs to me, but you can't tell. And the other one says, no, it belongs to me, and you can't tell. So Vayter, as Rashbam said, there's no muchzuk, there's no raya, zero. So what's the din? What's the din? What does Rav Nachman say? Kodangvar. And what was the Gemara's kasha? What was the Gemara's first kasha on that? Right, how about Shesharis, where we should have said... Okay, that's the Taisus we saw yesterday, 2 days, right? The dining. Okay, so let's try to understand this Kol Dalmagvar a little bit. So the Gemara had answered the kasha, so far the first kasha we saw. How come we're not saying Shudo Yachloku? When do we say Shudo Yachloku? When do we say Shudo Yachloku? Lekalameka, which means? Right, the discovery process is done. We don't anticipate any more riots. It is what it is. So we got to make a call. Okay, so we have to figure out, is the call going to be shoot? Is the call going to be achloku? We have to make a call. Mashiach can hear. Where what?
More proof could be brought.
What type of proof could be brought?
A riot, like?
Like
a star or Edim.
Right? Edim who saw what?
Southern that it used to belong to the
father. Oh, right. So it could be Aiden who remember, we'll establish a Marakama. Aiden, remember, we remember this boat. This boat hasn't been in the harbor. Well, remember, the old times, remember, this used to be old man Reuven's boat. Yeah, of course, old man Reuven used to take out this boat, he used to take out the motorboat every Sunday. And then, who knows what happened to it? And now, old man Reuven's son, Reuven Jr., says it's his, and Shimon Jr. says it's his. Okay, that's one solution. Another type of riot we could bring. What other riot could we bring?
Star.
Okay, maybe a star. Certainly on a karka, maybe a star. Or maybe Ede Kenyan. Maybe you have Ede. We remember when Reuven's father bought it. Not that we remember it being his. Not Marakam, but we were there. We were there 20 years ago when Reuven's father bought the boat from the boatmaker. Or maybe when he bought it from Shimon's father, for that matter. Right. So okay, so there's room for more proof. And the mail, what's Bezin not going to do? Since we're still open to have more proof, so what would Bezin not want to do?
Award it to someone.
Yeah, what are you going to say? Right, we wouldn't want to say Yachloku. We wouldn't want to say Shuda the Daini. We don't want, as you said, award it to anyone, or even award it to the two of them together. So instead, what are we going to do? Not get involved, and that's the impression you get from the previous Gemara also. The Huarba, the Hilchas Alo Tafsinan. We really Bezin should get. Once Bezin gets involved, so they may be stuck. Once we became a Shomer, so then it's irresponsible of me to then just let it go and whatever happens happens. What do I mean? You have an Achrayus, but we really would tell Bezin, don't take Achrayus, don't get involved. That's what it sounds like. You sure that's it? You sure that's what's going on? So we're telling Bezin not to get involved.
Could be a shomer for somebody that may not be the owner.
Right, right. No, so the Gemara definitely says Bezin shouldn't seize the asset themselves. That's for sure. That was a machlokas, and that's a klar psak. Hilchasa, Bezin should not take over the asset. We're not going to say, you guys are fine over it, I'll just take it. No, Bezin definitely shouldn't stick their fingers in, literally. Bezin shouldn't send a sheriff, Bezin should not send a policeman to go and lock the boat up with their own lock so that neither Reuven or Shimon can walk over that. We don't recommend that. Instead, what's Bezin going to say? Kol Amvar, right? So it sounds like being Bezin is just stepping back. Are we sure? So what are we showing him debate? You saw the Rishonim make a point. Let's take a look at the Rush. Let's take a look at the Rush. Here we are, Paragimel Simon Chav Gimel. Simon Chav Beis. Rav Nachman says, "Kol Dalam Gemar." Before I get into the kashas, just the psak of Rav Nachman. The din itself, the pure din of Kol Dalam Gemar. Hi, Kol Dalam Gemar. Anything bother you about Kol Dalam Gemar? What do you mean, Tzimur Shomtim?
It seems like whoever dies the better fighter will get it.
Right. It seems. Okay, that's true.
It's fake.
It's fake. What would the, based on your learning in Chumash? Torah Shabbos. How does Kol Ha'am Gevayah strike? And I use that term, that verb, for Chaim's benefit.
Tribal.
What?
Tribal.
Right. Yeah, tribal.
It's not based on
that. The pasuk in Hazinu. It describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs units.
It's pretty Grudish.
That's what the pasuk in Hazinu says.
No, I'm saying it seems to be.
Oh, this seems Grudish. The pasuk in Hazinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel Emuna Ve'ein Avel. Sadik V'yashu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reliable God. Ein Adam. There's nothing dishonest. There's nothing wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is straight. He's a paragon. Baruch the paragon of Yosher. There is divine justice. Sadik V'yashu. And here we say, law of the jungle. I mean, call down, guy. Really? Just duke it out. It was so bizarre. I mean, it seems like you said tribal. Seems very primitive. And you know, are we encouraging violence? And do we say that might makes right? Is law of the jungle or something? Seems a little surprising. What gives? Why? What? Call down, guy. Really? The whole Gemara, the parallel. So the Gemara is a technical question. The Gemara said, oh. Called on Gavar, why didn't Rav Nachman follow either Rav or Shmuel? Okay, that's the thesis. We're asking for Rav, for Shmuel, for both. Okay, the Gemara gave an answer. It will make it look amazing. But forget about the Meisve, how about the Masker? What does this mean? Called on Gavar. Called on Gavar. What does it mean? Why is that Jewish? What is this? Halachic man wrestles? Called on Gavar? What does it mean? You want to wrestle for sports, so we can handle about whether wrestling, you know, assuming you're not going to cause damage, and it's consenting, because then, hey, but that wrestling is the way you're going to resolve a dispute? Is olive base that's not what we do? What's going on? So, presumably, that's underlined what some of the children are saying. Let's see. The Rosh says like this. I go down Gemara Dinu. It's a dip. It's a dip. As opposed to. Where do you get to the detail? What do you mean it's a dip? I know it's a dip.
It's
okay, so maybe saying that's halach l'maisa. Rav Nachman mentioned it, even though they're kashas, so the Rosh is saying, no, that is how we pass it. It's limited. It's not going to apply by Yalek and Lekwa de Milsa. And when we get to Lamahem and Vades, also say it doesn't apply when it's Jar Demona. We have to get to that. Yachlo. Okay, it's going to be limited. We're going to qualify it. Okay. So Gavi is saying, he means, that is the din, hilchasa. Okay. There's certainly one way to interpret the Rosh. Let's keep going, and then we'll come back to this phrase. It might be a pretty loaded, fraught phrase. Dino hu dekal misha gavar yadu parmi shona hu shalo, ad shi yavi chaveiro raya. It's a din that, what did the Rosh just say? That what?
Whoever is strong,
whoever wins
first is the winner.
As opposed to? Keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. Right? Once I win first, there's only one round. That sounds like, it's like a little bizarre. It's by one round boxing. What is this? The first round really counts. Whoever wins the first round, so then it's locked in. Calls Manshal Yavi Raya, if he doesn't bring a Raya, even if they fight out again, the first time Reuven won, and then Shimon goes at it, and now Shimon wins. Lo shavkinen le, we don't allow him la pukimine. And how does that sit with you? Does it sit well with you? You understand that? You understand? Why not? Why not? Okay. Good. They're still fighting. Okay, so you say, we limit the fighting. They're still fighting. Do you even see a svara? Just this notion that there's gonna be the first round of fighting matters, is dispositive, decides the case. The second round of fighting, should there be one, doesn't matter. Yeah, what do you say? Hamotzei chaver al varaya, and therefore.
Once one person is the most soft, the other person is not
right. Ah. So Emmet is saying, so you're saying in favor of the Rosh instead? So Emmet's saying, I understand the Rosh. Is anyone bothered? Let's come back to Emmet in a moment. Anyone bothered by the Rosh as he stands?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you say, Gavin?
The guy was having a bad day. He was sick or something, so he was off his game a little bit, but then he comes back the next time
He took some Tylenol, and now he's ready to fight, and he wins round two.
Okay, so Gavi's a practical man. Gavi's a practical man. But Gavi's making an assumption. He says, given that the winning the fight matters, which we still don't understand where that come from, given that winning the fight matters, mehecha taisi.
That is a one and done.
Yeah, okay. Anyone want to generalize Gavi's question? Even if the guy didn't need Tylenol. Yeah, Raf?
Why should the stronger one then become the Muxa just because he was stronger?
You're saying Emmet said that the straw whoever wins the first time becomes a Muxa. Mechatesi. Why not redo that again? And whoever wins the second time will be the Muxak. In other words, maybe what's emerging, and let's generalize a little more what Gavi is saying, is when you first read this comment to the Rosh, but does anyone else say what the Rosh said? Any other Rishon say what the Rosh said? That only the first round counts? Mugyosef, right? Mugyosef didn't explain much. Mugyosef just said it. Right? The Rosh has a lot to say. Mugyosef, let's take a peek and let's come back to the Rosh. Let's take a peek inside. Yudches Amar Alf Bedapeh Harif. Smack in the middle of those narrow lines. Kol Da'alam Gvar. By the way, just as a bibliographical note, just to know what you're looking at, and just to explain the put into context as far as that we're in the midst of learning. The Rosh and Mukha Yosef, and the Rif is right now. The Rif is right in front of you. Right? In the Dapya Rif, you have the Rif in the Gemara position, then you have Rashi, or some version of Rashi in the Rashi position. You have a later Rishon in the Tosa position. Right now it's the Mukha Yosef. Just to explain for a moment, and then we'll jump back into content. The Rif, Rav Yitzhak Alfasi, lived in Fez part of his life. Much of his life he lived in Spain, in Cordoba. And then the end of his life, I believe he moved to Fez, to Morocco. He crossed the Strait of Gibraltar from southern Europe to northern Africa. And he lived around the same time as Rashi. The Rif in Spain and Morocco, Rashi in France and Germany, and Rabbeinu Nassan in Italy, all lived right around the year, left of the year 1000. And all of them were busy creating svarim that would serve as tools to make Gemara learning significantly easier. They made three different types of tools. Rabbeinu Nassan, the Rashi we're most familiar with, he wrote a Peirush on the Gemara, a running commentary on the Gemara. Rabbeinu Nassan wrote the Sefer HaAruch. We usually don't call him Rabbeinu Nassan, we usually call him the Aruch. And the Aruch is an organized dictionary for Shas. It's a dictionary that not only gives you definitions, but also he'll often, it's alphabetized, and under a particular Erech, under a particular entry, which is why it's called the Sefer HaAruch, under the entries are all alphabetized, and then under a particular entry, he'll not only translate the word, he'll often quote some of the sugyas that where that word shows up, and sometimes they even give you some pirush on the sugya also. The Jastro is modeled sort of after the Aruch, correct?
Yeah.
We'll have to. The Aruch was a great Talmud Chacham and a holy tzaddik. Jastro is a very fine scholar, from what I understand. And his dictionary certainly has its uses. I think the greatest practical limitation in terms of the Jastro is twofold. Number one, it is too much there, because it was meant to be very comprehensive for Bavli and Yerushalmi and Midrashim. There's a lot to, there are many entries to plow through that aren't Talmudic Aramaic. And it requires a fair amount of knowledge already. As he only does verbs by Shoresh. So if you're looking at the word Isi, Isine, Aleph, Yud, Yud, Saf, Yud, Nun, Yud, Hey, you're trying to figure out what Isine means. If you look under Aleph Yud, you're not going to find it. You need to look under Aleph Taf Aleph, which is the Shoresh. Asa means to come. Isi means to bring. He brought. Asa is ba. Isi is heavy. Isi ne means heavy o. So it has its limitations. But yeah. So the Aruch is probably the original Talmudic dictionary, and then in addition to the Perish of Rashi and the dictionary of Rabbeinu Nassan Baha Aruch, you have the Rif, who wrote a third type of tool. He made a kitzer of the Gemara Lahalacha. He abridged the Gemara. The Gaonim had already begun this project, and he was coming after a long line of Gaonim that had done these kitsurim of the Gemara, cutting out a lot of the Shakavataria, sometimes cutting out the Shitos, you know, Paskin like, sort of like the essential Talmud, so to speak. So that's the riff. See, there are approximately, at the beginning of the period that we've shown him, approximately a contemporary of Rashi, and he writes this kitsur lahalacha of the Gemara. And then there were for a century or two, there were Rishonim in Sfarad and Spain and in Provence who wrote Perushim on the Rif. For a couple of centuries, this was the most Jews in certain parts of medieval Europe. Most Jews learned Rif, not Gemara. For Gemara, you have to be Talmud Chacham. The Rif was much more accessible. So you had different Rishonim wrote mostly either Rishon from Provence. Or from Svarad, wrote running commentaries. So the most common one is the Ran. Many Masechtas you have Ran. And there are some Masechtas where instead of Ran, there's someone else wrapped around the Rif. So the Bavas are among the Masechtas which have Nemuke Yosef rather than the Ran. As a matter of fact, I believe, I'm not sure, that the Nemuke Yosef was a Talmud of the Ran. If you see where we're up to, called Alam Gvar, in the middle of you, in the narrow lines you Yuches Amar Alp, in the Mukhe Yosef, the half line before is V'chein Das HaRan Bar B'chidushav. The Mukhe Yosef is referencing the Ran Bar is Rabbeinu Nissim Bar Reuven, whom we simply call not the Ran Bar but the Ran. So the Mukhe Yosef lived later, and he's referencing the Ran wrote X. Okay, so here we are in the Mukhe Yosef. Kol Dalam Gvar, what does he say? Kol Misha Tik Briyado Pam Rishona, Hu Shelo, Ad Shiotziena Chadeir Beraya. Whoever wins the first time keeps it until the other one brings a Raya. Aval Kozman Shoyim Tzaraya, as long as the other party, Shimon, Reuven won, Shimon doesn't have a Raya, Afim Tizgaber Yado Lo Shavkinle. So the Nemuke Yosef just says it. Milka just says, statement, assertion, the way Kol Da'alam Gvar works is there's one round. Whoever gets it first keeps it. Why? He doesn't explain. The Rosh explains. Now, Emmet suggested, and it's worth considering seriously, that you become the Muchzak. Right? You become the Muchzak. Whoever gets it first becomes the Muchzak. And then, so that the reason why we can't have a round two, if the fundamental question is, why does round one matter more than round two? If you're saying, well, whoever gets it, so then Viter, it should stay that way. Bazin is not getting involved, whoever gets it. So Emmet is suggesting, well, one theory to explain the Nemuke Yosef is, once you get it, you become the Muchzak. And then once you're a Muchzak, so then already grabbing from a Muchzak isn't going to help. He's the Muchzak. Amotzi Mechavel V'raya. Now, yeah, anyone want to push back against that? Fresh hands? You want to push back against yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
The Rosh says...
See, here's a man of MS.
The Rosh says you need a body.
Oh. It's tempting to say, Hamotzi Mecharei Alvarai. Why? Well, because the language was, once Reuven gets it, so Shimon's going to have to bring a Raya. So that sounds like the end of Hamotzi Mecharei Alvarai. So it's certainly true, the Olav Haraya part, the Ayin He, is definitely true. The question is the first half of that phrase applicable? Is the Hamotzi Mechavero? Hamotzi Mechavero means you're taking away from a Muchzak. So one of the times, one of the contexts in which the din is Olav Haraya is when you're trying to take away from a Muchzak. But over here, as Emmet points out, if I would have stopped right here, as the Mukhe Yosef does, so yeah, maybe it's say you become a Muchzak. Is that true? Do you talk about Kalam Muchzak by grabbing something? I don't know. The Rosh says, Kazman Shelo Yavi Raya Afim Tikba Yadlo Shavkinle. Why? So as Emmet points out, the Rosh doesn't stop. He keeps going. He gives an explanation. The Lo Mistaber She Saknu Chachamim She Yukol Yemein Bimariva Umachlokis. It seems unlikely, illogical, or I should say maybe unreasonable, it's unreasonable that for Chazal to set up a system that they're going to be constantly fighting. Hayom Yigbar Zeh, Umahar chaveiro. If the din would be that you just sort of go, and it's never ending, and you have it for as long as you have it, and the other guy's going to take it, so that seems like a very unreasonable situation for Chazal to be misakin. A constant machlokas. What's that going to do to them? What's that going to do to their families? What's that going to do to the community? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Elo chachamim pasku. Kol dam gar pamazos. Gavar. So that's why Chazal set up a rule that whoever wins the first time wins permanently. Now, in order to say that whoever wins first wins permanently, or at least wins until someone actually can prove that Kolzman, there's no raya, it's going to stick with whoever got first. So there are two things you would want. We said offhand, logically, and I'm starting Muskel Rishon, if I don't know anything, so I probably would have guessed, I don't know, I mean, if whoever gets it, and Bezen's not getting involved, then whoever gets it, that should go on endlessly. Like, well, why should the first time marry more than the second time? So in order to say, no, like the Russian Milk Yosef did, no, you only get one round, and then it's locked in. It's not symmetrical. The first round is not the same as all the other ones. The first one counts, the other ones don't. So to explain that, you're going to want one or two things. So far, the Rush gave us one thing. What he gave us is a motivation. Here's why you would want that to be the case. The Rush said, it's good to have a din. It would be good, it would be beneficial if the din would be that there's only one round of fighting. Because otherwise, you have endless rounds of fighting. That's going to lead to all sorts of terrible consequences. So the Rush gave us so far a motivation. What did he not give us?
The rules of the fight.
Even more fundamentally, as a lamdin, he explained to us why we would want this to be the din.
Why
does it? By a source, or?
Why
how does it work? He gave us a motivation. He did not give us a mechanism. He didn't give us the lamdin. How does this work? It's very nice. I would love for the din to be that there shouldn't be a lot of fighting. Beautiful. But lamaisa. Nechatesi. No one's a muchzak. No one's a marakama. There's no raya. For some reason, you told me that therefore it's just open ended. Right? Which is what the previous gemara sounded like. Lo tafsinan. Bezin just steps back. But if that's the case, as I understand. Okay, but if that's the case, that Bezin doesn't really have a way, you know, we're not going to say anything, just whatever happens, happens, so then why are we stepping in F? Like, how does that work? I understand why it would be nice if that were to be, if the fight will be limited, but what's the lumdus? What's the lumdus? Oh, so now the rush moves, yeah, Chaim?
You're saying that they're coming to have a third party observe the situation, award it to someone. If it doesn't stepping back, then who declares who wins the first fight like that?
Okay, good.
There's no standard when two people both want the field, then that's the rule. The rule is whoever gets it first.
Oh, so you're asking a practical question, which is we have to come back. What does it even mean, Tigra Yodo Parmishona? Right? Who's the ref? If you're saying we're gonna play rock, paper, scissors to decide who gets the field. So who's reffing the rock, paper, scissors? Good, but I'm saying, so you're asking, which is a very valid question, how do we define Kol Dangvar? I'm asking, why is that the din? So the why breaks down to two parts. The rush initially gives us like the motivation. Sort of the equivalent of like time of the corrupt. Here's what the din accomplishes. But we still also need to know, but what is the din? What's the lumdus? It's nice to say, I would like the result to be, it would be beneficial if the result will be limited fighting. Okay, but then, but by what lumdus do we say that now we're done? How does the din work? What's the mechanism? You gave me motivation, and now the rush moves to mechanism. And then we have to come back to what you said, which is, again, how are we defining it? Who's making the call? So what's the mechanism? Samchu al zeh b'chol mi shehadin imo karov lahavi rayas. Well, they're samchu al zeh. Sounds like they're relying on the fact that whoever is right will have an easier time bringing proof. And the od mi shehadin imo yimsar nafsho lahamid shalo biyado mimashi yimsar ha'acher ligzol. Moreover, whoever whoever, because the Rashban, the first point about the riots, what does the riots have to do with anything? Okay, I have to think about that. The guy who's really right will have an easier time bringing proof. Okay, number one. Number two, the way it works is that whoever is really right is more likely to be Moser Nefesh, and you're more likely to be Moser Nefesh to keep your thing than you're going to be Moser Nefesh to steal your thing. And then he says, number three, the old Yomar, Ma Betza She Emsor Nafshi. What do I gain? This is very biblical. Ma Betza. Who says Ma Betza?
Yehuda.
Huh? Yehuda, right? Ma Betza. What are we going to gain? What's the gain? Specifically, Ma Betza sounds like not just what's the gain, but an implication of an ill-gotten gain, a morally checkered gain.
What's the
doubt
about?
Okay, good. Oh, very good. I bet some Adami read to Shachas. So he says, so the Rosh says, reason number three is the guy's going to say, what am I gaining already? I mean, most of Nefesh, I'm actually going to go all out to try to seize the property, to seize the boat. And then later today, it's all for naught. Because the guy, I know that I'm lying. So sooner or later, the guy's going to bring proof. And then it's all. Well, once he brings proof, Kol Da'al Gvar evaporates. Once he brings Edom, that's his. He brings a star, that's his. And the whole Kol Da'al Gvar is definitely over at that point. So now, what did the Rosh say? Rosh is trying to explain again. First, he gave us the motivation, which we could essentially could say, Darkei Shalom. And then he gives us mechanism. And what? Samchu Chazal on three things. One, two, three. What was the first one?
Whoever's right is going to have an easier time bringing it.
Good. Kal Avi Rios.
Is it easier or he'll be more motivated to?
Have an easier time. Karov Lahavi Rios. He has an easier time.
Use the language of.
Carl, I mean, sounds like he's going to have an easy time bringing proof. One would hope that there'll be more proof to the truth, real proof to the truth, than fabricated proofs to the lie. Number two, whoever's right, Yimser Nafsho Lishalo, more than Ligzol. You're going to be Moser Nefesh more to keep your own thing than to steal someone else's thing. And what was the third point? Lo yimser nafsho ligzol. So let's take this step by step. Three mechanisms. So first, let's deal with the details. Kar lo havi rayas. The fact that whoever's really right is going to have an easier time bringing proof. How is that relevant to why Kol Da'al Gvar works? We talk about proof.
Whether he wins or loses the fight, he has that he can get his property back.
Okay, so you're saying maybe it's, we're not so worried. Don't, we don't, you're saying maybe the Rosh means, don't worry so much about the details of Kol Da'al Gvar, because Mistama is all temporary, they gotta probably bring proof anyways. Okay, that's one way of understanding the first line. But interesting, we don't really care anyways. That's not such a big deal. Okay, maybe. Anything else? A Rosh Bam? Anyone have a Rosh Bam? Yes?
Not just, there's two aspects. It's either physical or...
Oh, good. The Rashbam, the Bam, the Lama, the first time the garment is called Angvar, and then the Huarba, he said, Bein Berayos, Bein Bekoach. Bein Berayos, Bein Bekoach. It's interesting. He's saying that called Angvar could also mean if I bring a little bit, whoever has better Rayos. Nothing's really, not a strong, if it's a real Rayos, if you have two Edim, so that's not just called Angvar. But I have Epis something. Sounds a little bit like Rashi, Rashbam, Shuda, the Daini, actually. So perhaps the Rosh is thinking about that also. Well, if you're bringing like half Rayas, if one guy has a lot of half Rayas, okay, seems like it probably is. Okay. Yimsar Nafsho L'Shalo more than to steal. And Lo Yimsar Nafsho to steal. What's the difference between reason number two and reason number three? They sound like they're both saying, I'm not going to be moser nefesh to so much to steal. Isn't it just a redundant repetition? Yeah.
It looks like the Rosh is looking at it from both angles. He's looking at one from the angle of the one who's trying to retrieve his property. He's saying he'll be willing to put more effort. And then he's also looking at it from the other side of the coin, which is how well the one is trying to steal it.
He won't put it in. It's good. So Tzina one said you have two different perspectives here. From the perspective of the honest fellow who really owned it, and from the perspective of the goblin. Good. Can you take it and take that a step further?
God. Playing on psychology, that you know, like, it's not just a likely, it's that it's he's playing on the fact that most people will fight to defend what's theirs.
Okay. They're both psychological, but it could be also that the different
one is self-preservation.
Point number two comes from the Tanakh. Look over. The assumption that I'm being most nervous even more for my own thing than to steal someone else's thing is not the same as, but reminiscent of a very famous story beginning to say from Malachim. Tachma Shlomo. Right? Gezoras Hayeled, and the mother is more motivated to preserve, the true mother is more motivated to preserve her child. Again, it's not the same, clearly, by any stretch of the imagination, but at least a little bit by analogy. And point number two, the second svar of the Rosh, he's saying the fact that it's mine is going to motivate me more than the desire to steal someone else's thing. The third point is more practical, which is...
I want to save my skin.
Right, and I'm going to make an enlightened self-interest. It's not just that I have internal motivation for my own stuff more than for someone else's stuff, but the fact that someone else's stuff means it's likely that even if I get it, I'm not going to keep it. Because I know that Bezen doesn't know who's right, who's wrong. But they know who's right, who's wrong. So the Golem knows that the other guy is really right, which number one means I know it's not mine, I'm not as motivated. Point number two. Point number three, I know it's really his, and therefore he's likely to show up with Raya's, so all this Mesiris Nefesh will go for naught. So that's breaking out the Rosh's three Svaras, which all come back to Samchu Chazal. What it sounds like is what we're saying is, we're not saying Amotzimech Ve'al Raya, as Emmet pointed out. We are saying, rather, in one word, a rove, l'chora. That's what it sounds like. Okay? Well, there are indications it's a rove that's probably, whoever wins, it's probably his.
Not that he mukzak.
Whoever wins, it's probably, that, exactly. He didn't say anything mukzak. He said, Chazal is somewhat on the fact that there are indications that whoever gets it first is his. There's more to say about this, and we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem next time. Glad to stick around for questions. Next time we'll see Mirtz Hashem that not everyone agrees with the Rosh in one of two different ways. The two different ways to disagree with the Rosh.